Someone said that they saw me and the deacon on TV this morning for the TV mass, and I preached 3 minutes. That's all they give you. They hold up that sign. Well, I got a little more than 3 minutes today. I want to say that a lot of us Catholics are sort of familiar with this gospel in a kind of a negative way, in that some of our Protestant brothers and sisters will sometimes say to us, well, you know, the Bible says, call no one on earth your father, and you Catholics call your priest father, therefore you're all a bunch of bad people. Or that seems to be the conclusion. And never mind, of course, that it also says not to call anyone teacher or rabbi. And never mind, of course, that in the New Testament, over 200 places, the word father is used to refer to some earthly male person. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, none of them got the memo, apparently, that you're not supposed to use the word father to anyone on earth, to refer to anyone on earth. Of course, what I want to say is not, this is not a gospel about terminology, but this is a gospel that's much richer than that. It's about authority. It's about humility and authority. And that's what the Lord wants us. He doesn't want us to get into fights over terminology. That's not the main point. The point is authority. Now, before I get into the teaching on authority that the Lord gives us, I want to first of all say this. A lot of times when we hear critique of authority, we always think it's for some other guy, that jerk in the corner office, that idiot of a pastor, that politician, that leader, whoever. It's always about somebody else. But I got news for you. It's also about you. Because except for the very youngest in this church, all of us not only are under authority, but we also have authority. And so I hope that today you'll hear this gospel, not just as pertaining to that jerk in the corner office with the view, but rather also to me. I have authority, you have authority. All of us, to some degree, except perhaps the very youngest here today, have some degree of authority. You might say, well, what? I don't have any authority. Well, maybe it's just because you're older. Sometimes just the fact that you're older means you command authority and respect. And so it is that we all have authority as well as we are under authority. So please understand, this teaching isn't just about somebody else. It's also about me and you. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk today on this topic that we ought to learn from the author of authority. Learning from the author of authority. Do you hear the word author in authority? You see, all authority comes from the author of all things, and namely the Lord. And we heard today in the first reading, and we heard today in the second reading, that all authority, scripture, all these things come from God who is the author of all things. And so if one has authority, then biblically what we mean by that is that we are under the great author of all things and accountable, first of all, to him. We'll get back to that. Therefore today, the title of the message, Learning from the Author about authority. Now, with that in mind, we have four fundamental points in this gospel. The first teaching is the tenure of lawful authority. Now, the text says here, Jesus speaks, he says, the scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. We'll get to the example part in a minute, but notice the first thing the Lord says. They do have authority, and that there is such a thing as authority. We live in an age, first of all, it's a human tendency to not like authority. We don't like being told what to do. At least our fallen nature is a little resentful. None of us are, "Oh, I'm so pleased to be told what to do." No, I mean, we're all a little bit that way, but we also must observe that we live in a time where authority is particularly despised. We live in a very rebellious, sort of anti-authoritarian type of culture in America, and I would say probably all throughout the West. We're cynical of authority, we're resentful, we are often tweak authority, we lots of problems with authority. We just have problems. And the first thing that we need to understand is that authority is essential. And authority is taught by the Lord. There is authority, and authority should be respected. Now, there are some limits that we'll talk about in a moment, but again, the main key point is, first of all, that there are lawful authorities, and we should listen to them and observe and do what we're told. Unless, of course, we're told to do something that is evil or sinful. Now, imagine, some questions certainly come to mind. He says, well, the scribes and the Pharisees have the chair of Moses. Do and observe everything whatsoever they tell you. Of course, the Lord had a few arguments with these same people. And likewise, but he says to his followers, I want you to follow. They have the authority and follow them. Now, of course, one day, when they're kicked out of the synagogue and all, and Jesus is going to establish the church, these same apostles that he's teaching this to are going to become authorities themselves. So perhaps good training ground for them is to learn to obey the current authorities, because one day you're going to be an authority. But let's be clear. Authority is taught. And as Christians, there really is not much place for this rebellious and cynical attitude that a lot of people have today about authority. Let me read to you a few texts and then just make a little more comment on that point. From Romans 13, Paul says this. He says, let everyone be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and all those who do resist shall incur judgment. We also read in 1 Peter, submit yourself to the Lord's sake, or for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men. And St. Paul also goes on to say this in 1 Timothy. He says, I urge, first of all, that prayers and requests and petitions and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, especially for kings and all those in authority, so that we can live a peaceful and a godly life. Now, how to apply that in our current situation? Well, first of all, we live in a time where there's a lot of strident political discussion. I think it's always been the case in this country. Some people say it's gotten worse. I don't know if it has, but let's just say that it's a time where frequently we air our differences, and I think that part of having vigorous political discussions and debates about the issue is part of the genius of the American democratic system. We have all the people are meant to be informed on the topics, think their way through it, and then vote accordingly. So there is a place, I think, for vigorous political discussion. But where I think we start to cross the line is when we begin to ridicule and deride lawful authority, whether it's the president, the mayor, whether it's the bishop, whether it's the father or mother in the family. We tend in our culture to just be very personal in our attacks. And we call names and we deride and we're very ugly in some of our discourse. Again, none of this is biblical. We are to have reverence for authority. That is biblical. And out of that reverence, we may at times, especially in our American system of politics, we have an obligation to go to those in authority and speak to them and let them know what we think and try to influence them. But the way we do that is with reverence and respect. They may not be of our party. They may not be of our thinking on some matter, but we're praying for them. We're lifting them up because these are the authorities that God has granted us and allowed us to have. For better or worse, this is a situation, and we are to reverence and respect those in authority. And so a part of the political discourse in this country of itself is good, but often goes too far. Be careful as a Christian. You can get drawn into the kind of talk radio or the kind of strident stuff that we hear on the out of the regular news media that want to emphasize our divisions and often present caricatures. And there's a lot of these talking heads who hyperbole sells, you know, extreme statements sell. Tune in at 11. But don't be drawn into it. You see, as a Christian, we reverence all in authority. We treat them with respect, even if we disagree. So that's the first thing. Now, in our families and in the churches, same thing. You know, this whole question of authority, I think, exploded on the scene in the late 60s, and I was just a little kid. But I know that we sort of sown in the wind and we've reaped the whirlwind. See, an awful lot of young people sort of threw a question authority party. And there may be a role to question authority at times, but in the end, brothers and sisters, now we often have kids who are bold toward their parents, who do not respect their parents' authority, who talk back to their parents, and we have an increasing problem in our culture with young people who do not reverence elders, parents or children who don't obey their parents. They don't learn in the crucible of the family at times to learn that, you know, sometimes even if you don't like it, you got to do it anyway. And your parents aren't perfect, but you need to obey them. Unless they tell you to do something that's evil or sinful, obey your parents. It's good training in life because you'll never have a perfect supervisor. You'll never have a perfect, you know, head of anything. We're all imperfect. The scripture doesn't say only obey when you like the guy. The scripture says obey lawful authority. So you see that we have this attitude in our culture today that's very bold toward authority, and it often begins right in the family. And then we begin to see as people go out, and we see it in the church, there's an awful lot of anger, certainly at the clergy today. But again, respect and reverence for our bishops, for the Pope, respect and reverence, and I really do appreciate the personal love and respect that you show to me. I've never felt anyone strident or ugly towards me in this parish. But it does go on in our culture that an awful lot of people like to just tweak anybody who's in authority. And so it is that I will just say that all of us have a call to reverence, respect, and obey all lawful authority and follow all just laws. And again, to the degree that we think we need to influence or move things in a different direction, that's part of the political process or part of the discussion. Same thing at work. You know, the guy in the corner office, the woman up there, up on the top floor, maybe she's not the perfect boss. But again, the Christian approach is pray for her, support her, encourage her, speak the truth to her in love and respect, but always with those visions in mind. All this backbiting and stuff that goes on in workplaces, oh, the boss this, the boss that, and we just go right along with it. And that's not biblical, see? All right, so the first thing the Lord wants to teach us today about authority is, first of all, there is authority. Authority is to be respected. Authority is to be obeyed in all matters that are lawful and just. And we are to, again, lift them up. Scripture also goes on to say, pray for them. You'll notice that at every Mass, it sounds like a broken record, I know, but we pray for our Pope and for our bishops and all the clergy and all the lay leaders, and we pray for our president, for our mayor. You say, it all is, there we go again. Every Sunday, we pray for those in authority because Scripture commands it. We do this out of respect for what the Lord teaches. So step one, the tenure of lawful authority. And this is especially good for us who are under authority in any way. But now the Lord's going to begin to turn the discussion. And remember, this isn't just about that nasty guy in the corner office. We all have authority. So the Lord now begins to warn. He says, don't follow the example, though, of the scribes and the Pharisees. Because although there is authority in this world and there is power in this world, it's not always exercised appropriately or properly. So the Lord goes on to talk now not only about the tenure of lawful authority, but now the tyranny of arrogant authority. It says here, do not follow the example, though, of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember, he's going to be making these apostles authorities one day. So, he says, be careful. The leaders often preach, but they don't practice. They tie up heavy burdens that are hard to carry. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they won't lift a finger to help them. Well, again, this is for us who have authority. And it's for us also to help those who are in authority. Because you see, sometimes what happens is, in our world, authority is usually equated with power and getting my way. I've worked too hard to get here to have you suggest that something I said isn't right, and so on. So very often, authority is equated with power, and power is getting my way, see? And the Lord cautions us and warns us. Authority, we're going to see this more in a moment. Authority is not for power. Authority is for service. We'll get to that in a moment. But you see, again, here's the problem. Tying up heavy loads, burdening people, not respecting their humanity and their struggle and helping them to become what they're meant to be. So for one who is in authority, whether a parent, whether a pastor, whether a politician, whether a head of a corporation, whoever has authority, their job is to help people under them to accomplish the task. A person in authority sets an agenda, helps people to be unified around it, and gives people the resources they need to accomplish the task at hand. That's what an authority does. They help people. They give them resources. They encourage them. They correct where necessary. They do it with love and with respect. But they help people to accomplish whatever the task is. I see the choir here, and I've heard that Mr. Lewis has to call the agenda. Amen? When he counts four and brings you in, you got to come in. But part of his job at rehearsal is to correct, encourage, build up your talents, help you to learn. You didn't think you could sing a solo, and he's got you singing a solo anyway. To build up, to encourage, to love and respect. These are the things that we have to understand if we have authority. If you're a parent, you've got to command your children. You got to show them the limits. But within those, show them love, encourage them, help them to grow up to become the man or the woman that God has made them to be. Tell them when they've done well. Lift them up. Give them the resources that they need. And if it means making some sacrifices, well, I can't buy the new car, we got to buy the tutor instead, you see? I'm going to do it, see? I love the new iPad, but right now we need to get some shoes and some clothes for these kids, see? All right, you got the vision, right? So here we have, if you will, be careful, because we all have authority. And one of the tendencies, now that I'm in charge, I'm going to get it my way. You see, that's not the point of authority. To have authority means to unify, to bring people together, to give them resources. We have to set the agenda. We will sometimes have to make decisions that people don't like. But in the end, we're building people up and making things possible. Not heavy loads and burdens, hard to carry, not lifting a finger to help. That's not authority from any Christian point of view. Now, the next thing the Lord points out to be careful about, not only is there a tenure of lawful authority, and not only is there a tyranny of arrogant authority, but there are also the trappings of self-centered authority. Oh, the Lord says, look out, man. Some people in authority love the trappings. Now, look out, man, because I'm up here. I'm looking just like what he talks about. You pay attention now. He says they widen their phylacteries. You might not know what that is. These are these little boxes you sometimes see the traditional Jews wearing. They put a box on their wrist and a box on their head. And the Bible says, let the word of God be on your forehead and written on your hand. And in other words, always remember the word of God. So they took it literally, and they'd wear these big boxes. And you know how it goes, right? I want to show that I'm really pious. I'm going to get a bigger box. And a bigger box. Before you know it, he can't even get through the door. All right. And then it says, though, they widen their, those are the phylacteries, and then they lengthen their tassels. I'm not tripping over mine yet. They love places of honor in the synagogue and the title rabbi. Hey, rabbi.
Yes.
Monsignor.
Yes.
All right. Look out. See? So you pray for your pastor now. But listen. First of all, let's talk about just our human condition. It's part of our respect for people in authority to reverence them in different ways. You know, if the president or the mayor were here, we wouldn't say, well, you sit back there in that stool. We give them a seat in the front, and we honor their presence. That's part of what we do for people. We do reverence authority. We ought to. And there's some human intention and strength and importance to do that. Amen? But you see, what starts to happen with people who have authority, they start to think it's about them. It's not about them. It's about the office they hold. We give these titles, but we're reverencing the whole community. We say, Mr. President. We don't just say, hey, Barack. We're not just reverencing him as we ought to, but especially we're reverencing the office. And in reverencing the office, we reverence all of us. Because this is part of our country. It's part of the structure. And so we do these things, but you see, here's the problem. You start to think it's about you. So I get called Father, I get called Monsignor, I get called Hey You, Yo Pastor, I get called all kinds of things. But in the end, those titles are not about me, they're about people's love for the church and their love for God. And if I have a title, Father, I darn well better live up to it by being like a father, caring for my people. Baptizing, preaching, teaching, feeding on the Word of God and the Holy Communion. I better be available. And I better be leading people to the Heavenly Father. We'll talk more about that in a minute, too. You see the vision, though. Titles are nice, but look out. If you have a title, CEO, head in charge of whatever, you know, I'm the... It's not about you. It is not about you. I may be the great leader of the whatever. By the way, I want you to know I am now the dean of the Northeast Deanery. It's not about me. You see, again, all of these are, they're all about people's love for the church. All right, praise God. So you see, be careful of the trappings. Now look, some of those things are needed and important. We ought to reverence authority, but they're not about you. Or they're not about me. Now, finally then, this leads us to the real heart of the matter. The Lord has taught us about the tenure of lawful authority. He's taught us about the tyranny of arrogant authority and the trappings of self-centered authority. Now comes the truth of Christian authority. Now let's start and look at these truths. The Lord says here, look, as for you, don't be called teacher. You only have one teacher. As for you, don't be called Father. You have but one Father in heaven. As for you, don't be called Master. There's only one Master, the Christ. And the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, there's some teachings in this. First of all, listen carefully. The Lord is not excluding words from our vocabulary. He's not saying, don't ever use the word teacher or rabbi or master or father ever again. It just never, just throw them out of your vocabulary. That's not what the Lord's getting at. He's saying this. There's only one true authority, and his name is God. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. And all authority in heaven and earth comes from him. All authority, all leadership, all power comes from God. It's all from him. It all belongs to him. It's his. And if you have any of it, it's just that he's shared it with you, but it's his. So let's look at some of these titles. Father. Some of us in this church have that title. I'm a spiritual father, Father Pope. Many of you men are fathers of children. And they call you father and dad. What does it mean to be called a father? The only way that you can legitimately have the title father is if you are leading your children and I am leading you to the Heavenly Father. Otherwise, it's a disgraceful thing to be called father. It's an embarrassment. If you're a father, make sure you're leading your children to God, the true Father, who is Father of all fathers, who is Father as no one else is Father, from whom all fatherhood has its origin, is God the Father. And any father deserving of the title Father is doing one thing. He's bringing his children, his grandchildren, he is bringing all of his brothers and sisters, he's bringing them, leading them to the Heavenly Father. And if I have that title of Father, I only deserve it. It's not a title of honor so much as it's a requirement. We call you Father, Father Pope, and the reason we call you Father is you're supposed to be leading us to the Heavenly Father. Are you? Pray for your pastor. So again, how about teacher? All of us are teachers, but we only deserve the title if we're teaching in such a way that leads to God's truth. If you are teaching anything contrary to God's truth, that is a disgrace, and you don't deserve the title teacher. Everything is rooted ultimately in the truth of God. Every teacher, and all of us are teachers, every teacher has to first of all say, Lord, you teach me so I can teach them. We're being taught by God so we can teach. We're being fathered by God so that we can father and mother others. We are under God's authority. Likewise, these other titles, master and rabbi, all of these things. If you have any authority, master, the king, the head person in charge of whatever committee, all of these things are under God's authority. It all belongs to God. So that's the first teaching. If you will, all authority is under the headship, under the authority of God. Now, it says here in the text that, again, the greatest among you will be the servant. So the next teaching is that what is authority for? In the world, authority is for power, getting my will accomplished. In the Christian order, authority is for service. Why do you or I have any authority at all? It is so that we may serve. Serve. Think of a teacher in a classroom. She has authority. She has to have authority. Otherwise, pandemonium, which is Greek for demons everywhere. Total chaos. So she has to be able to command the children and keep order. She has authority, and she needs it. But why? So she can serve them. So she can teach them, lead them, and encourage them. Build them up. Why does anyone have authority? A parent? Simply to lord it over their children? Rather, no. To bring them up in the fear of the Lord, to help them, encourage them, and get them ready for life. Oh, the service that's in that. Now listen, Jesus says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 48 and following, he says, look, he says, you have seen how those who have authority in the world lord it over people under them, and their great ones make their power felt. Cannot be that way with you, he says. The greatest among you will serve the rest. And he goes on to say, I am among you, and you call me teacher. You call me Lord and Master, for so I am. But I have given you an example. And he says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for the many. All authority is ultimately rooted. Are you willing and able to make the sacrifices necessary for those you're called to serve? It's not about me and my agenda and my power. It's about the people I'm called to have authority over and their needs and providing and helping and encouraging and building them up. That's what authority is for. It's for service. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, let me tell you again and give you an example. And he took a towel and washed their feet. And he says, do you see what I've just done for you? I have given you an example. And now you must wash the feet of your brothers and sisters. That is what authority is for service. The final thing I want to say about authority and then wrap it up, I just heard the bell. And that is this, that among Christians, authority is always exercised among equals. In the Christian understanding of authority, authority is always exercised among equals. That is to say, that because a person has authority does not mean they are better than the person under them. Let's just go right to the top. The Pope, Pope Benedict, has authority in the church. But brothers and sisters, and by the way, he has authority. And he calls the shots. But brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you. He is no more baptized than you or I. Because his greatest title is not Pope or Supreme Pontiff, Pontifex Maximus. Those are not his greatest titles. His greatest title is Child of God. There is no greater distinction, no greater dignity, no greater title than Child of God. And you and he and I and anyone with authority have that title. Authority does not make you, if you have it, better than the people under you. It does not mean that those who are above you are somehow better than you. We're all equal before God. We all have different roles. Sometimes we're under authority, sometimes we have authority. But it's always among equals. You see, part of the resentment that comes with people in authority that we sometimes have is this sort of unexamined premise that somehow those who have authority are better. They think they're better. But they're not. They just have authority. That's all. So again, we've seen these teachings. We try to learn today from the Lord. And he taught us today, first of all, that there is authority. There's a tenure of lawful authority. But he warns there can be a tyranny of arrogant authority. And that he warns us also about the trappings of self-centered authority, where we think it's all about me and how great I am and how I've made it. But then finally, the Lord gives the teaching that authority is for service. Authority is under God's headship. And authority is exercised among equals. There's the one-minute version. Finally, to conclude, all authority comes from God. And I want to tell you that no one exemplifies authority better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And what did he do? He came and served us. He took a towel and washed our feet. He walked our dusty roads. He experienced even abuse from us. We nailed him to the cross, but he died so that we did not have to die. Who in authority, what king, what president, what leader ever died for you? Only the authority with a capital A, Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he shows what all true authority comes. I'm mindful, as you know, of a song. I'm always mindful of a song. This is a traditional old hymn. Crown him with many crowns, because he is the great king, the authority, the author from which all authority comes from. And he has shown us. And I'm mindful. Crown him, the text says. Crown him the Lord of love. Crown him the Lord of love. And it goes on to talk about, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the height can fully bear the sight. And at the sight, he says, and at that sight, he cast down his eyes at a mystery so bright, so wonderful, so beautiful, that the greatest authority, the greatest king, the king of all kings, the lord of all lords, would suffer and die in my place so that I don't have to, so that I could live, so that I could flourish. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But he shows us, if you have authority, I'm the author of that authority, and I've shown you the way. Authority is for service. Authority is for love. Authority is necessary. Got to call the shots if you got it. But you do it because you love and you want to serve. Amen.